And he told me that to be safe on the road because of the rain. And we thank the Lord for the good weather. Yeah, and I was planning to sing when I was sitting in my car. But since we have a good weather today, I don't want to have another rain, so I won't sing. Yeah, it's not my gift, so I'll just stick to preaching. Yeah, and before that, I just want to testify of God's goodness to my life. Yeah, first of all, I thank the Lord because for more than almost 5 years, the Lord has been so good to me while I was here in America. I remember before I went here, I was thinking, how would I survive there, here in America? Because I've never been so far away from my family before. And I was wondering, how would I survive? And now, almost 5 years later, yeah, I know the answer of that question. And it is the Lord that helped me for all those years. And I thank the Lord because even though I was far from my family, God gave me a new family here in America. It's a blessing to meet new friends, new people, new churches, preachers, yeah, that are praying for me, that are partnering also with the work. And I also thank the Lord for a church like this church that prayed for my dad's church, and that I could testify to you that I am one of the biggest reasons that I am here tonight standing in front of you was because years ago, when my dad came here, you prayed for him and you partnered with him in missions. And I thank you, church. I thank the Lord for this church that you prayed for us and that you have invested in our work in the Philippines. And right now, the church in the Philippines, my dad's church, Mount Vernon Church in the Philippines, it's been there for 23 years now. And the Lord has been blessing the work there with souls getting saved. And I remember my dad telling me the story when he first started that church at Mexico in the Philippines. For 1 year, he only had one baptized member. But now, they average like 70 to 100 people every Sunday. And that is all because of the glory of God. And that is also a big part of your prayer and financial support in my dad's church in the Philippines. Yeah, and that is what your prayer and your support has done in my dad's church. And in behalf of my dad and our church in the Philippines, I just want to say thank you very much for praying and for partnering with my dad in missions. And that is now why that I am here tonight. And I thank the Lord because God has given me the privilege to stand here where my dad stood many years ago. And I was talking with Brother Butch, and he told me the first time that he saw me, I was just this tall. And that was like 15 years ago. And now I'm 23 years old, and that is all by the glory of God that I am here tonight. And the Lord has been so good to me and in my family's life. And also we want to thank you in behalf of my family for praying for my dad, because I think it was last March when he got sick. They said he was food poisoned. Then he got very sick, very weak. And because of him being weak, he's also diabetic, so it caused some complications on his internal organs, like his heart, his lungs, his kidneys. Because of his diabetes, he had problems breathing. And they were hesitant to bring him to the hospital because, yeah, the hospital would say he has COVID. So they're not wanting to bring him there. So they tried to take care of him in the house. And one Sunday evening, I will never forget this. I went to Illinois to preach for morning and evening service. And the Sunday evening, I was driving all night to go back to Ohio because I have classes on Monday morning. So while driving at night, it was very late at night, I remember my mom called me. And she doesn't usually do that because she knows that I'm sleeping, or I may be driving. But that Sunday evening, late at night, my mom called me. And when I answered the phone, first of all, I pulled over because I don't want to get a ticket. Yeah, when I answered the phone, I remember hearing on my phone my siblings and my mom crying. All of them were crying. And I know because my dad was sick. And she told me that my dad is just trying to catch his breath. He was doing his best to breathe. And when they put the phone close to my dad, I can hear him struggling to breathe. Yeah, but with me on the phone, I felt like I'm helpless because I am far away from my family and I'm the eldest son and I wanted to be there for them. Yeah, but I am 8,500 miles away from them. But I remember that there is something that I can do, even though I was far from them. I did my best not to cry, because I wanted to be strong for my family. Then I told my mom, put the phone close to dad again, and put it on loudspeaker, and we will pray. And that time when I prayed, and we prayed, my family prayed, they are weeping, I'm doing my best not to cry. We prayed, and after I prayed, my dad was able to breathe okay again. Yeah, that was the first time that happened. It happened again two times. And on the third time, I remember I was eating lunch in the college. They called again that my dad is having a hard time to breathe. And that he was unresponsive. They were trying to talk to him. He's not talking back. Yeah, and I went to the other room. Then we prayed again. I asked my friend to pray with me. Yeah, and after that, he was better again. And that was just God. Amen. With us, we know because of our prayer, it could do something. And after that, they brought him to the hospital. And he was in the intensive care for 5 days. And he was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And we praise the Lord because right now, my dad is back home preaching and teaching again. Amen. And that is also because big part of this church praying for my dad. And seeing you go to the altar and praying just tells something that this church is a church that knows how to pray. And we thank the Lord for churches that pray. And I believe that your prayer also for my dad was a big help to my family. And right now, my dad is preaching again. And please continue to pray for him because there are times that he is weak. He could not stand preaching for so long anymore because he gets dizzy. So sometimes he sits down to preach. And he's just 45 years old. So continue to pray for my dad as he do the work at Mexico in the Philippines. We still praise the Lord for He is still good in my life and my family's life. And right now, I am getting ready to go back to the Philippines and see my family. And my flight will be on August 26, 11:55 a.m. So I'll be flying out from JFK, from New York City. I'm really excited to see my family again. Yeah, especially my mom. Actually, today is my mom's birthday. And I want to shout out to my mom if you are watching there right now. Happy birthday, and I love you. And I'll see you soon. Yeah, I'm really excited to see my mom. And also my youngest sister, Opie. And I'm not being biased, but Opie is my favorite among my siblings. Yeah, because she's the sweetest. Yeah, no offense to KL and MN, yeah, but Opie is my favorite. And so excited to see her again. Yeah. Yeah, and I'll be there soon in the Philippines, so I will see them soon. And I thank the Lord for everything that He has done for me. And now I'll be going back to the town of Santo Tomas in the Philippines, or St. Thomas. Right now I am praying to reach $1,000 for monthly support, but right now I am on my 45% or $450 a month. Yeah, but I am not in panic, even though this is my second to the last service here in America. But I know that God is still on the throne, and that He'll be there for me when I go back. So, church, please be in prayer for me as I try and pray to reach my goal in support. And also, at St. Thomas or Santo Tomas in the Philippines, KL was looking for a place that I could rent there. And that he found a commercial place in the Philippines. It's just along the road. And he told me that to rent that place, it cost 8,500 pesos. So that is like almost $300 a month. So that is just to rent the place, not counting the electrical and water bills. So I am planning to rent that place using my support. And also for that support that I'll be getting, that is also the money that I'll be using to support the different ministries and for my personal needs also. So please be in prayer for that. And also, if this is God's will, I am also praying that if we are able to buy a piece of land at St. Thomas, and I am praying for $20,000, because if we could buy a church property there or a piece of land, it will be easier because we could save those $300 a month and use the money in other ministries. And if we could buy a church property there also, we won't have to worry about the neighbors if we rent a commercial space, because not all people will agree with what we are doing. And also to save a lot of money, and so we would also have a permanent place there for worship. And we thank the Lord, because my dad, they have in their church, they have their own place, their own building. They don't have to rent anymore. So my prayer is to buy a church property at St. Thomas, so we won't have to rent anymore. But praise the Lord, because I already have 2,500 of 20,000. So I only need 17,500. Yeah, but still, I am not in panic, because God is still on the throne. And we know that the God that we serve is rich, and that He could provide our needs. So please be in prayer for that, for 17,500. And I only have two more churches left, two more meetings. So God will provide for that. So I am really excited to see them and to go to St. Thomas. But as I land in the Philippines, I'm still not able to see my family yet, because I have to quarantine for 10 days. Yeah, I am fully vaccinated. Yeah, but I don't know if it's effective. Why do I still have to quarantine for 10 days? Yeah, but I have to abide by the government law. So, and also with the expenses of quarantine, I have to pay for my own room for 10 days, and for my own food, and for the COVID testing. So nothing's free in the Philippines. So please be in prayer for that also. Yeah, and right now I'm going to preach, and I thank the Lord for the privilege to preach. And when I saw Pastor at the door, he told me that I look like a preacher right now. And praise the Lord for that, because God has called me to preach. Yeah, and it's better to look like a preacher than an actor, because preachers are more handsome than actors, right, preacher? Yeah. Yeah, thank the Lord for the privilege to preach and to stand here in this pulpit. And if you have your Bibles, please open it into the book of Mark, chapter 5. Yeah, this is a very familiar story in the Bible. It is the story about the maniac of Gadara. And we praise the Lord for the song that was sung a while ago, that the Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Amen.
And I believe that for all of us that are saved here tonight, all of us could say that the Lord was the best thing that ever happened to our lives. It is better than getting our first job. It is better than the day that you were married, because God is the best thing that has ever happened to our life. And in this story that we will study tonight, we will see that a man, when he also experienced the same thing that we experienced when we were saved. So a bit of background about the story, about the message tonight, is before Jesus and the disciples went to the shores of Gadara, according to the Bible, when they were at the other side of the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus taught the multitudes there, and then He told the disciples to go over into the other side of the sea. And as they were sailing towards the other side of the sea, while they were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, according to the Bible, in the last part of chapter 4, that Jesus, along with the disciples in the ship, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, that they experienced a great storm. Yeah, and during that great storm that they were in the ship, we will also read there that the disciples were in panic. Even some of them were experienced fishermen. They were afraid that they were going to die in that storm. But Jesus was asleep in the ship. And their cries and their fear, they asked Jesus, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" That was their question to the Master, to Jesus. But praise the Lord, because even though they were in the middle of the storm, praise the Lord because the God of the sea was in the ship that they were on. So for three words that Jesus said, "Peace be still," there was a great calm instantly in the storm. And praise the Lord because we serve the same God. The same God that said, "Peace be still," into the storm in the Sea of Galilee. That is the same Savior that we worship tonight. And we praise the Lord for that. And after the storm, they went over to the side of Gadara. And the Bible says in chapter 5, verse 1, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes." So before we continue, let us pray. Please also pray for me as I preach. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank You and praise You for who You are. Lord, we thank You for this story that is written in Your Word that we could look at tonight and study. Lord, I pray that You please help me as I preach. Give me the right words to say. Fill me with Your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that You please be glorified and be lifted up tonight. Lord, if there is someone here tonight that is not yet sure about their salvation, we pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to convict that person, that they may realize that they needed a Savior. And Lord, for everything that will happen tonight, for everything that will be said tonight, we ask that You be glorified and be lifted up, for You are the only one that is worthy to be glorified. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So after that, they have experienced the storm in the Sea of Galilee, they came over to the other side of the sea, and that is the country of the Gadarenes. That is what the Bible says in verse 1 and in verse 2. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." So in verse 2, the Bible says, it used the word "immediately." So as soon as they went there into the shores of Gadara, immediately there was a man that was wanting to meet them, especially Jesus. And I don't know how this man knew that someone was coming, but for me personally, I believe that this man knew that they were coming, because according to the Bible, that this man was living in the mountains and in the tombs. Maybe he was looking at that sea, looking at that storm, And as he looked at the storm in the sea, he saw that the ships were being tossed to and fro by the waves. And maybe he was thinking that, those ships are going to sink on that storm. But suddenly, when he looked back again, the sea was calm. And that was the power of God. Maybe that man, he saw the miracle that happened in the sea. So when he saw that ship approaching the shores of Gadara, maybe he was curious. He wanted to meet the people behind that miracle. So in verse 2, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So this is how the Bible describes this man. According to this verse, that this man has an unclean spirit within him. So we will see here that this man is not in control of his life, but he is under the bondage of the devil. He had an unclean spirit in him. And in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not one. We will see here, number one, what Satan did to this man. That he has enslaved him. That the devil has enslaved this man. And number two, what the society did for this man was they tried to chain him. That the society is not concerned about the welfare of this man, but they cast him out into the tombs and into the mountains. People don't want to be around this man. That they were trying to chain him. They're trying to put him away. This man is in a very sad situation. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. They are trying to do what they think was right for the man. But there is nothing that the society can do for the maniac of Gadara. And in verse 5, and always night and day he was in the tombs and in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself in stone. Can you imagine the life of the maniac of Gadara on how the Bible describes him? That he was in the mountains crying at night and cutting himself in stone. But church, this man is someone's family. Have you ever thought about that? That this man could be someone's father. He could be someone's uncle. He could be someone's brother. He could be someone's husband. He is someone's son. And church, if we have an unsaved loved ones tonight, they are like the maniac of Gadara. They may not be living literally in the tombs. They may not be literally cutting themselves with stones. They may not be literally like the man of Gadara. But church, let me tell you tonight, for all the people that are unsaved around us tonight, are unsaved loved ones, unsaved workmates, unsaved friends, they are in the same situation as the maniac of Gadara. These people are hopeless. The things that I've noticed about the maniac of Gadara, number one, that he was a slave of the enemy. Number two, that he lost his sanity. He's not on his right mind. That this man was solitary. He was away from the people. That this man was living in shame. And that this man was suffering. That was the life of the maniac of Gadara. What Satan did for him, he enslaved him, and the society did was they tried to chain him and to put him away. But in verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. We will see here the proof of the deity of Christ. There are people tonight right now that deny that Jesus Christ is God Himself. But praise the Lord, because we have this story in the Bible that proves us tonight that Jesus Christ is 100% God Himself also. That even the demons acknowledge that Jesus is God. Even the demons worship Jesus. And in the verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." So that's, we will see there also the demons acknowledging the deity of Christ. And also we will see there a Jesus' authority over the demons. And praise the Lord, because the Savior that we have tonight, He has the authority over the nature, over the sea. And praise the Lord, He also has the authority over the demons. And that is the power of Jesus Christ. That is the power, and that is the Savior that we serve tonight. So in verse 8, "For He said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many." And the term Legion is being used for a group of soldiers during that time. The number of soldiers that is called the Legion could be between 2,000 and 6,000. So that's a lot. And that gives us an idea on how many demons are in the maniac of Gadara. So he says, "My name is Legion, and we are many." And in verse 10, "And besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country." And we will notice here also that the demons really want to stay at Gadara. And as we read the story, we will see why they wanted to stay at Gadara. "And now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding." So this is the first reason why the demons wanted to stay at Gadara. Because the people there are disobedient to the law of God. We know that the Jews were given a law, that and in that law, they are forbidden to have pigs or swine. They are forbidden to take care of them. They're forbidden to eat them. They're forbidden to sacrifice them. And that is the law that was given to the Jews. But if we study, we will see that part, or at Gadara, it is a Hellenistic region. So the people there are Hellenistic because during those times, when the Greeks conquered the known world, what we call Hellenization. So they brought their culture to other countries. They brought their gods. They also brought their language. That is a big reason why the New Testament was written in Greek, because of Hellenization. But in this part of the, but here at Gadara, we will see here that the people are Hellenistic Jews. So they disobey the law that was given to them, because the Greeks, they offer swine to Zeus, and this is what they do to take care of them, to sell them to those Greeks and maybe sacrifice them or eat them. So this tells us that the people at Gadara are disobedient to the law of God. And that is one of the reasons why the demons wanted to stay there. Because of the disobedient people that are living in that place. So in verse 12, "And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." So we will see here that the demons are asking for permission because they could not do it by themselves, because they are bound to the Savior, because the Savior has an authority over them. So in verse 13, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea." So if you are the one owning that farm, you saw all your pigs in the sea, your business was bankrupt. And I don't know how much one pig cost here right now, but I believe that it cost a lot also during those times, that their business was bankrupt, that the way of their living just went to the sea. And they could not earn money anymore because their pigs are gone. And in verse 14, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done." So the people that are owning that business, they went out, they were afraid. They told their friends, they told the people in the city, hey, our business is bankrupt, our pigs went to the sea. No more roast pig, no more lechon, no more sacrifices, no more income. That is what they told the people in the city. So in verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. So there are three things that these people came to see when they went there. First thing, they come to see Jesus. Second thing, they saw the man, the maniac of Gadara. And the third thing, they saw the pigs. So when in verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting in cloth and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And praise the Lord because Jesus Christ came to Gadara. And that is what Christ did for the life of this man, that he brought transformation to the life of the maniac of Gadara. That this man was before when Jesus came, that he is suffering in the tombs and in the mountains. He was crying and cutting himself with stone. This man was hopeless. This man could not do anything to help himself. His family gave up on him. The society tried to chain him. But praise the Lord, because one day, in the life of the maniac of Gadara, that Jesus Christ came to the shores of Gadara and brought transformation and salvation to his life. And I believe when that man wake up that morning, he was not expecting to meet Jesus. He was not expecting to be transformed. He was not expecting a great thing to happen to his life. But praise the Lord because Jesus Christ came into the life of the maniac of Gadara. And I praise the Lord because that same thing also happened to me when I was a 7-year-old boy, that when Jesus Christ came to my life, He became my Lord and personal Savior. And that is my story, and this man has a story to tell to the people. So, but the sad thing was in the last part of verse 15, the people were afraid. Instead of them rejoicing because one of the problems of their city was solved, instead of them thanking Jesus over the great thing that he has done for the man of Gadara, the Bible says that these people were afraid. And that is the same thing that is happening right now. Even though people are getting saved, even though God is still working, people around us, the unbelievers, they persecute us. And they still drive Jesus out of their lives. And in verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They look more than the swine than the soul that was saved. They gave more importance to the swine than the soul that was saved. And that is the saddest thing about the people at Gadara. And that is why the demons wanted to stay there. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And that is one of the saddest verses that we could read in the Bible. That people, even though that they saw the great thing that Jesus can do for them, that they can see a living evidence of Jesus Christ's power. Even though Jesus Christ did a lot of miracles during those times, He made a lot of miracles, but people still are rejecting Him. Amen. And that is so sad. Amen. And when He was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. So the man that was before being possessed with a lot of evil spirits, the man that was before living in the tombs, crying every night, cutting himself with stones, praise the Lord because Jesus Christ came to his life brought transformation, and now he's wanting to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord for the power of Christ. Because always remember that real transformation can only be found in Jesus Christ. You could not find transformation at Walmart. You could not find transformation at Walgreens. You could not find transformation at Speedway. You could not find it at a rehab facility. You could not even find it inside the church building. But real transformation can only be found when Jesus Christ will come into the life of a person. So church, like what I've mentioned a while ago, I believe all of us here tonight, all of us has an unsaved loved ones. All of us has an unsaved neighbors, unsaved workmates, unsaved friends. They are like the maniac of Gadara. But praise the Lord, because one day Christ came to the life of this man. So what are we going to do? Knowing that these unsaved people are around us, are we going to be like the society during those times that they tried to chain him, that they cast them away? But there is something that we can do. And praise the Lord, because he has given us the Word of God, the Bible, that we can use it to share the Word of God to the people and tell those people that Jesus Christ loves them, just like the man of Gadara. And even though this man, when Jesus Christ came there, Jesus Christ, he was rejected by the people of Gadara, but still, I know that Jesus Christ knows what will happen. But still, Jesus Christ was willing to cross the storm, to cross the sea, even for one soul. Amen. And that is the Savior that we serve tonight. I praise the Lord because he was willing to do all of those things just to come and to save me. That he went to that cross of Calvary, that he suffered, that he was put in shame, that he wore my crown of thorns, that he was crucified. Those nails were supposed to be mine. That cross was supposed to be mine because of my sins. I'm supposed to die. But because of God's great love for you and for me, he was willing to go through all of those things just to come and to save us. And praise the Lord, because this man of Gadara, his life was transformed. His life has a new meaning. That before he got saved, when he wake up, he was thinking on who to terrorize next, who to bother next, who to scare next. But praise the Lord, because when Jesus Christ came to his life, the next day he woke up, his life has a new meaning. And in verse 19, he was wanting to be with Jesus, but in verse 19, Jesus has a job for him. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And that was what the maniac of Gadara did. Maybe the people of his family and his friends, as this man was going back to the city, maybe he was singing, Lord, you're the best thing that has ever happened to me. Maybe this man, as he was going to his friends, maybe he was singing, victory in Jesus. I don't know what he was singing or what he was doing back then. But one thing that we are sure of, when he went to his friends, this man had a message. And because Jesus commanded him to tell the great things that happened to him, and the great thing that happened to him was, maybe he was telling his friends, hey, you know who I was before? You can see these marks on me, the chain marks. You were trying to chain me. Can you see the cuts on my back? I was cutting myself before with stones. I was suffering. I was living in the tombs. But now I am here right now in front of you because I have experienced the greatest of all miracles. And praise the Lord, because this man experienced that. And he has a story to tell. And all of us here right now, church, we all have a story that we could tell to our unsaved loved ones. So I want to encourage everyone tonight that let us continue to share the gospel to the lost, especially to our unsaved loved ones. And church, that is what I will be doing when I go back to Santo Tomas, Pampanga. So I ask your prayers. Please continue to pray for me. So if you don't have my prayer cards yet, you could have it. And also, if you want to support the work in the Philippines, my missions, you could also get a commitment card. So you could fill this up. I could have your information and send you my newsletter. And this could be like your bookmark on your Bible, so you could remember that there's a handsome missionary that came here that you are praying and supporting. And thank you, preacher. Thank you, church, for having me tonight. Thank you, preacher.
God bless you, bro. That was good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. Appreciate that. You know,